Brian Koo, are you there? Maybe you're not.
Yes, sir. Okay, good. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing really well. So for anyone who doesn't know or who hasn't listened to every single episode of this show, and curse you, by the way, if you have, because then you probably know all of my failings, Brian Koo is our very first guest on Filter. And Oh, and that feedback was signaling our excitement about that. So he's back. God, I don't even know how many months it's been since June. How many months has it been?
I barely even know it. Yes, I know what year it is, I guess.
What year is it? I mean, does it seem like every year we say, oh, this year was such garbage. Man, I hated this year. Like, when are we going to get to the year where it's like, this year was, like, actually amazing. Like, this was the best year ever. Like, it never, nobody ever says that, right? We never, have you said that in the last, like, 10 years?
I have not, but I would gladly go back to one of those garbage years over this one.
Yeah, right. It's like, little did you know. So every time, and now you think, like, well, maybe 2020 is actually, like, the best year in the next 10 years. Like, what if that?
That's a sobering thought.
What if we're pining for 2020 soon? I mean, oh, God. No, I don't even want to go there. We're supposed to be optimistic today. So Brian Koo is the executive director of Jefferson Team Jefferson, the EDC here, which supports large and small businesses and goes beyond that. I'll let him do the intro statement because he loves a hot mic and he loves promoting this stuff. And I think it's super important that we talk to him right now because the lockdown is back. Last time we talked to him, we were kind of still in, maybe dribbling out of the lockdown. And I guess, you know, the difference is that the previous lockdown, we had some federal support, and now we're really relying on state support. So we're going to get into all that, but I'll let Brian take it away. Brian, tell us who you are, what you do, and why you're crazy enough to do it, and why you live in Squim. What's wrong with you?
What's going on there? All right. Well, secret's out of the bag, so I think we're done here. No. My name is Brian Koo. I'm the executive director of EDC Team Jefferson. We are the Economic Development Council for our county. Each county has a designated agency like ours. Sometimes it's support. Most of the time it's an independent nonprofit like ours is. But we work in close collaboration with partners such as the port, the county, the city, the PUD, a lot of them lately. So we exist, the way I kind of describe it, for a lot of your listeners have probably never heard of us, and that's okay. You know, we'd love to be more and more of a household name, but we're not selling anything, so it's not like we spend a lot of time and energy pushing our brand. But we exist to be the connective tissue between small businesses, or businesses of all size, but in Jefferson County, we're all small, and resources out there, including public resources. So an example of a conversation I'm having lately is with somebody who's looking to do to turn their property or use their property for recreational use for essentially like Airbnb, but for camping. Excuse me. So, you know, that's an example of, okay, is it allowed? What permits may be needed to do that. So again, working as that kind of intermediary connecting tissue, helping them get the answers and the resources they need to be able to move forward with whatever that may be.
So it's state funded, just to confirm that, state funded organization that really is helping smaller businesses, well, businesses of all sizes thrive and grow. And answering little questions like that, it seems like. So you can be a resource that goes beyond just finding funding.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And that is one of the things we do is help with access to capital. Outside of where I lay my head at night, my other deep, dark secret is I used to be a commercial debt peddler. So I would put business owners in debt. But anyway, I would do lending. So I speak that language of finance. I get excited about connecting people with capital that they need for their business. To answer your first question, how are we funded? All the taxpayers listening right now, you've already paid for us. So thank you for paying your taxes. It comes to us through the state, through the Department of Commerce. Jefferson County is a key funder. The city has provided the space we utilize at the Business Resource Center, where we're co-located with the Chamber of Commerce. Sometimes we're the recipient of grants and other private funding opportunities. But for anyone walking through our door or virtually lately, that's one of the first things I say is, if you have a question or a need, you're in the right place. And thank you. You've already paid for this resource. So, have a cup of coffee and let's talk about what you want to do or help with. So we do the access to capital thing, like you mentioned. Another key part of what we do is we grow business owners. So we have a longstanding, although we took a hiatus this fall, we have a longstanding business planning class that walks either potential business owners, new business owners, or even existing business owners that want to, freshen up their skills, walks through an entire business plan in each of the subcomponents. So that's been pretty wildly successful. We also host lean thinking classes. And if you could see me, you would laugh as I say lean, but what that actually means is, doing more with the assets that you have in your business or trying to reduce waste in your processes and things like that. So we've got some awesome instructors who have taught that to a variety of business types, including, and this continues to excite me, including local school districts and Jefferson County, the entity. All of those, or both of those agencies, have gone through lean thinking. I moonlight as a school board director, and without sounding derogatory to anyone, a school district is a target-rich environment for employing lean practices, trying to cut down on that proverbial red tape juggernaut that any public agency is. So,
got it.
You can tell I love the work we do and that I'm fortunate enough to get to do, and always looking for ways that we can help further.
Well, let's talk about some bad news first, because I'm a bad news first kind of person usually. In terms of, now that we have a greater perspective on the economic impacts of COVID in Jefferson County, do you have a summary for that? Have you seen a lot of businesses close? I looked yesterday after somebody asked about commercial properties, in the market, and I noticed that there actually are an unusual amount of commercial properties for sale right now. That I hadn't noticed before. What is, and not to say about that specifically, but what's your snapshot of our economic health in Jefferson County, whatever it is, 8-9 months into a pandemic?
As a self-described optimist, this is tough for me to say, but it's hurting. Our economic health is very strained. And I know if folks are, have a free moment to be listening to this now, you're running a business, and you're hopefully building up your cash nest egg from the summer season, the busier season, and that'll get you through the winter. Most, if not all, businesses have not been able to do that because of the restrictions with COVID, because of just general concerns, shifted buying habits of individuals. So those are some serious challenges that, as we sit here, our business owners are staring down the barrel of. And so I'm extremely concerned about the coming months. November, we're already almost through it. December's coming up. That's kind of a last hurrah in terms of consumer spending. And then things tend to get pretty quiet in January and February. And that's for a number of businesses. That's not all. That doesn't affect manufacturing or like the marine trades business. There's seasonality to the marine trades, of course, in between fishing seasons. That's a sector that I think has shown some pretty strong resilience, which is exciting to see. I just drove through the boatyard yesterday, and that's some big boats, little boats, a lot of good stuff happening there. But where the hurt is really being seen and felt is certainly anything tied to our tourism sector, because obviously travel has been reduced significantly. People are not coming like they would normally. So there's that's not pessimism, but that's just trying to be as realist as possible of how concerned I am. Now, I do have a little silver lining.
Good.
And in 8 minutes, and I suggest that people do not turn their dial. This will be recorded. It'll be on news tonight. So you don't have to sweat watching it live. The governor's about to go on in 8 minutes, and he's going to announce some new resources that are going to be available for businesses, which will include further grant funds. And that's something we, amongst others, fought really hard for because we know businesses need grants over debt right now. Now, I'm not knocking debt or loans for the right scenario, but if you have that choice over free money, especially to fill that gap and, you know, that nest egg that never came over the summer, that makes a lot of sense. So be a lot of dollars or more dollars coming down from on high, if you will. There will be a revolving loan fund that the state will administer in some form or fashion that looks to have kind of a higher risk tolerance than conventional financing. So I suspect that will be used to buttress, you know, the kind of loans you can get from a local bank or here in Jefferson County. You know, a big feather in our cap is the Local Investment Opportunity Network. So a big key target of these programs, and all the details are being shaken out, and I've probably already said too much, is businesses that most recently were impacted again with last Sunday's announcement. I know that was a punch in the gut for a lot of folks, you know, especially restaurants or any other business that's just trying to do what they do. And, you know, now they can't either have people inside to dine or they have a capacity limitation if it's a retail kind of outlet. So those are the kind of businesses that I think are going to be prioritized with this next round of COVID relief funding. So it's a little bit of good news on a Friday.
Yeah.
You know,
so people who didn't hear that, 11:30, Jay Inslee, or 11:30, what? See, I don't even know what time it is, Brian. 2:30, Inslee is going to, Dennis' favorite time, 2:30. Jay Inslee is going to be speaking on some new assistance programs for small businesses and maybe individuals too. Or mostly
potentially, yeah. I don't know what the governor has full on his docket, but that was certainly the topic of a conversation. I have a weekly call with my counterpart organizations, 1 o'clock on Friday each week, and this is what we were just talking about. So this is true blue, hot off the press.
Brad. Okay, cool. And well,
Again, you've heard it here first on Filter.
Filter's bringing the good news. Bringing the good news. I mean, you know what? The bad news is that, like, we're not, I mean, this time everything's so different because we're not expecting any kind of federal relief anytime soon. I mean, do you have any, I know, you know, mostly you're focused on the state level, but do you have any predictions or ideas about, I guess I should say, are you strategizing for having absolutely no more federal aid coming out to small businesses in Jefferson County?
Yeah, the short answer is yes. However, and we do. So one of the legs of the stools that is the EDC, or a stool, I guess, somehow that makes sense, is legislative advocacy. And so you're right. I would say a solid 60 to 70% of that is focused at the state level. But we do keep in contact with our federal reps, you know, just swapping messages with Maria Cantwell's local rep, and then certainly been staying in touch with Congressman Kilmer's local team. So as far as reading the tea leaves, I haven't heard anything that, you know, a quick search on Google News will tell you. But I think in general, there's optimism about the next relief package and how robust it will be. So I'm not holding my breath, or I'm certainly not banking on it, but be shocked and amazed if something meaningful didn't come down from the federal government fairly soon, because this next Congress is, you know, about to be back in session. If not already, I can't remember which date they go back, but we're talking a matter of days.
So there could be something passed before the end of the year.
Potentially, you know, but with such a, well, I don't know if it's a broad split or tighter split, whatever you want to call it. I mean, there's all the chess pieces are in place for gridlock,
right?
Partisan gridlock, but nonetheless, they've shown before that they can come together despite partisan divides to do what's right for the American people. And at the risk of sounding like, again, the ever hopeful optimist, I think that'll definitely happen again. Just how big and how soon is the question.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I think there is a general desire to avoid guillotines. So, like, coming together, putting aside partisan differences to actually support, you know, the working and middle class, or more the working middle class doesn't exist anymore. All opinions are my own, not Brian's, not KPTZ's. You know, there's a desire because, I mean, at some point, right, like, folks – there are folks who are just suffering in ways that maybe were suffering before COVID, and now it's just sort of unthinkable how existence can continue without, you know, without support. So I assume that'll be inspiring. That'll light a fire, because you gotta keep people alive and at least somewhat satisfied while we wait out for these great vaccines, which have super high effectivity rates supposedly and hopefully.
That's a big player in this whole arena too, is this vaccine, you know, that are coming down the pike. I think if I had to be completely honest, I'm a little skittish about how fast track they've been, but I also know that there's been a lot of resources devoted to this because it's been such a sudden and impactful pandemic. So
yeah, I had a discussion with another small business owner in town last night about this. And, you know, for me, like, he's worried a little bit about the vaccines, you know, and it feels fast, you know, and I get that. But my basic understanding of the science is just like, you know, this is the first time in a while the first time ever, right, that it's an RNA vaccine, you know, and all the vaccines are essentially targeting the same parts of the coronavirus. So not that they're effectively the same vaccines in how they're produced and how they need to be kept, but that scientifically, in terms of their approach, they're all RNA vaccines and they all target the same part of the virus. And so with that basic understanding, it really is like that they're producing the same fundamental vaccine, and the real differences are sort of in the competitiveness of the vaccine. Pfizer's needs to be held at 100 degrees below Fahrenheit, and whereas Moderna's can be much, like, it's like 5 below or something, much better, and then it can, like, be refrigerated for a month before it dies. So I don't know. I'm ready. Like I was saying at the top of the hour, I'm ready. I'll shoot myself up with any of these RNA vaccines. I'm pumped. So if anybody has one, just let me know. I'll be right over. I'll bring the tourniquet.
I'll be
and
right there with you. I'm gonna put some in my Hot Diggity IPA and down the hatch it goes. So I'm ready.
Well, Brian, you brought us a song. We're gonna take a little break, and Brian gave me some choices of bands and songs, and I chose Gojira, and a song, a new song of theirs that I hadn't heard called Another World. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Great
you,
choice.
You said you were really getting into Gojira, lately. So, how did you hear about them? Like what's your experience with this metal band?
Yeah, no, great question. So they're definitely on the aggressive edge of the musical spectrum. They're out of France. I'm trying to remember how I first heard about them, but, you know, actually, I take that back. I'd seen their album, I can't speak French, L'Enfant Sauvage.
Les Enfants Sauvages.
Yes, and I'd seen it, and for some reason, it was just kind of off-putting or nothing drew me towards it, but then their next album came out and really got me hooked. So I haven't been as excited about a band as I am about Gojira in a while. Biffy Clyro being another one, which we played last time, and so I hope folks enjoy it. It's like any IPA, it has some rough edges, but I love what they bring to the table, and I'm really excited about hearing more from them in the near future.
Well, if you got a felt hat, you might want to turn it down, but if you don't, turn it up, and if you do, turn it up anyways, maybe, and give it a shot. This is Gojira. We'll be right back with Brian Koo on Filter. And I'm Paul Rice. We got Brian Koo on Filter. This is a show called Filter. It's on KPTZ 91.9 FM, where we listen to music and we talk to people from JEFCO and beyond. In this case, beyond over there in Clallam County. Are you in Clallam right now, you traitor? Oh, can you not hear me? Oh, yeah. Sorry. I didn't have you switched on. See, that's what I did. I asked you a question and I didn't switch you on just to punk you just a little bit.
Because it's Friday.
Yeah, it's Friday. It's Friday. It's Tease Brian Koo Day. But it also is like a full circle thing, too, because Brian was the first guest we ever had on Filter, first time slot. And we got him back now, and we'll have him back again periodically because in a lot of ways Brian can speak to local business owners, what they can do if they're having trouble, obviously, which many folks are right now. But also, you know, in not COVID times, Brian will be a resource to you in helping you start your business, helping you expand your business. And we want to make sure that you know how to find him. So yeah, actually tell us right now, Brian, how can people get in touch with you if they have questions, along the lines of anything we've talked about so far?
Yeah. So, best place to start is at our website, edcteamjefferson.org. You can also email me directly. Email tends to be best because if I'm on the radio or if I'm talking with somebody else, obviously I can't, answer the phone. So director@edcteamjefferson.org, and you'll get straight to me. But shoot me a note. Let me know how we can help. And it's more than just the Brian Koo Show. I mean, we've got a team of volunteer board directors. We've got our instructors and our colleagues at other agencies, such as the Chamber, that we work closely with, amongst others. There's a whole army of individuals who are ready to help and help businesses thrive and survive. Survive's not been part of our mission statement before, but certainly after this year, that's a big part of it too.
Something I know you've been helpful with as this has all been going on, so many service employees had to apply for unemployment. And there have been situations where our local unemployment services have actually tried to get back money from folks because they assumed or they thought for some reason or another that the money shouldn't have gone to that employee. So I wanted, while I had you, you know, I know this isn't your complete bailiwick, but you can help speak to any listeners who are having this trouble. If unemployment has contacted them and said that they owe them money, how can they find out more about their case and situation and hopefully try and remedy that? How do you deal with that situation as a service worker?
Sure. Well, I'm going to lead with a first step, and I know a lot of folks are probably going to get upset with me when I say this, is start with, reaching out to the ESD, directly. Now, I know as well as anyone else that you're probably not going to get someone on the phone the first time. So that can be a challenge. If you haven't been able to get through or still receiving confusing answers, get in contact with us. I'm certainly not going to name the individuals that are part of, my Rolodex over at the Employment Security Department, but you better believe I'll get you in contact with them and help them kind of iron out these confusing, if not incorrect, situations. Oftentimes, I don't know if I would say it's human error, but oftentimes it's just, file got mistagged or something to the effect. I've loved helping out people that I've been able to in those situations. And so if you find yourself in one like that again, just let me know. And we know a lot of business owners, with these latest COVID rules are going to be using these benefits again, them and their employees, or seeking to at least.
Well, thank you for that. So, if you have an issue with unemployment, you can contact me, paul@kptz.org. You can reach out to Brian over at the EDC. Just go to edcteamjefferson. Is it .com, .org?
.org, but .org. .com will get you to us as well.
Okay, see, yeah, you got to have org and com.
Yep.
If you don't have com org, then,
Game over.
Yeah, game over, basically, because then, you know, somebody else starts their own EDC, Team Jefferson, and yeah. And who knows? And they just offer the exact opposite information that you have. Well, do you have any other sort of indicators about economic health? I mean, are there any real wins you're seeing? Any stuff? I know you like to be on the optimistic side, so maybe we can talk about some things that you're really excited about for 2021. You know, things that are going well and possibilities you see for economic expansion in Jefferson County.
Yeah, great setup. The two sectors, and not at the exclusion of others, but I want to give recognition and a shout out to, in terms of, you know, really having been able to endure the broad axe swings of this, you know, this latest economy, is manufacturing. You know, we're fortunate to have Pete Langley from the Port Townsend Foundry on our board, and his primary limitation right now, I don't want to say his only one, but his primary limitation is having to reduce output capacity a little bit because of, you know, COVID distancing requirements and things like that. But certainly no shortage of business activity. Of course, you know, they have a global reputation. Also with a global reputation is our marine trade sector. So, you know, there's been little hiccups here and there that I've seen and heard from folks in that arena, but otherwise, Boatyard is, you know, booming. You know, large projects going on, smaller ones as well. I know the port just had to replace a set of tires on one of their travel lifts, which was unanticipated, but, you know, absolutely critical in terms of keeping the music moving out there and going.
Yeah.
So that's pretty powerful to witness while we're going through a period like we are right now, because it speaks to, I think, the crux of your question is just how resilient our community is. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to bring up broadband. Perfect. Yeah. So we're on the same page there. In the last few months, a lot of my Facebook friends have been noticing when they're star watching, they see this string of lights go across the horizon. And at first they believe it's a UFO. And then when they do a little research, they realize that it's actually the Tesla Starlink. I believe they're called Starlink. Satellites that are moving across the sky. And the whole design of the project is to bring high-speed internet, high-speed broadband access to rural areas. So is this something that, you know, we can count on? I mean, I know we've had broadband struggles. Man, we could go into all the struggles, but do you see something like the Starlink satellite as a future of being able to have better internet coverage in our area? What are some other, you know, hopes you have on that front?
Great question. And, you know, one of the groups that we help set the table for, is the Jefferson Broadband Action Team, or JBAT, as it's known colloquially in local coffee shops and bars. but what the purpose of that is to address broadband challenges, which have obviously had a bright light shone on them with COVID. You know, we think of our students having to you know, learn from home, and just every other, or a number of folks working from home. So it's really shown in the ecosystem of internet access where the gaps are. Now, the PUD has been a tireless resource in terms of expanding broadband and fiber optic networks. There's work they're doing now that they can't speak to, and I certainly can't, but it's pretty exciting. It's really reaching into some of the most rural, economically challenged areas of our county. So that continues to happen, but all the while we have what some would describe as disruptive technologies, others would describe it as transitional technologies, but things like Starlink, just this last week or two, the T-Mobile home internet, it's based on a 5G, I believe, technology, is available now in areas where people are very limited, have little to no internet access. So this is really exciting. And what it boils down to, and this is where the optimist cup run us over in terms of what we can anticipate. It boils down to two things. Is no longer do you forfeit access to broadband or other other technologies like that if you want to live rural. You know, obviously, we all love living here. And more people, I think, are seeing the attractiveness of rural living or living within a stone's throw of, you know, a major urban hub like we're situated. And so I think what we're going to see is more telework coming into the area. There's a lot of benefits with that. There's some challenges. The top one being is your sector, Paul, is real estate. I mean, housing remains our number one economic barrier, without a doubt. Even with everything going on in COVID, that's one of the biggest issues. And influx is not going to help that. But I am, once again, optimistic that you know, people start getting into spec construction again, start building out that inventory to match the need. You know, I think of our county commissioners. Commissioner Dean in particular is one I connect with most on this issue, is the tri-area sewer. And that critical infrastructure that's really going to help us turn the corner in terms of building out more housing units. So back to those telecommuting employees. So no longer will they have to endure the seemingly horrific lifestyle and commuting patterns of an urban, you know, core that feels the crush of population density. They can live somewhere nice, like, you know, out here, have not only suitable, but perhaps even similar class broadband connectivity, and enjoy a rural community. You know, the nice thing about that is they're paying taxes into our systems here, you know, helping us build new schools, helping us pave our roadways, helping us, you know, put in sewers, things like that. So there's definitely an economic boost with that. And, you know, if folks want to know more or want to see where some of the activity is, the Coat Lab helps co-host, I guess, a meetup once a month, I believe, and it's with developers. I've had the privilege of sitting in on two of those, and so cool. You know, just for somebody who doesn't dabble in that world on a daily basis, it's just so inspiring to hear the creativity and just that sector as a whole. But that's one that we could anticipate will expand and attract others too. You think of the renaissance that occurred in Bend, Oregon, Sandpoint, Idaho, other rural areas because of things like that. I think we're going to see a lot of that here. In fact, I know we're going to see a lot of that here. The challenge on us will just be to make sure we have sufficient infrastructure in place and certainly the housing. Hey, but if anyone's ever thought about doing spec construction or speculative, where you build before you know you have a buyer, I think now's the time.
There you go. Well, Brian, before we sign off, any other shout-outs or PSAs that you want to give for folks in surviving the new lockdown or just in general about our local economy?
Sure. I think kind of mirroring what I said in the leader recently, or might have been the PDN, it's game time for all of us. And what I mean by that is we need to deploy our dollars as we have them as a local community to help our local businesses out. So, you know, maybe instead of going to a local big chain supermarket to get a lunch sandwich, you're heading down to Howell's or you're heading over to Food Co-op or something like that. So really just being conscious with where our dollars go. You know, our local businesses need our help. Let's give it to them.
All right. Thank you, Brian Koo. And we'll have you back on again soon. Hopefully next time everything is just hunky dory and we're all rich.
I can't wait for hunky dory. Good to be here again. Thanks so much, Paul.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks for Gojira. We'll talk to you soon.